3:04 as we welcome you into the gym class here for a Tuesday, a sunny Tuesday, a windy Tuesday here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, just back from Iowa City as Kirk Ferentz meeting the media down in Iowa City at the Hawkeye Football Complex today. Matt Campbell meeting the media in Ames as well as Iowa State getting ready to take on the UNI Panthers on Saturday. You can hear that game right here on KGYM. As always, we are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, a place for families meet up again and again for a quick lunch to catch the game, stop by after work, or bring the family for an affordable and delicious meal. Stop on by. They're locally owned and operated at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, Third Base Brewery. They are the presenting sponsor of the gym class right here on KGYM. We've got Colonels playoff tickets for you to give away once again today. Colonels in action tonight against Peoria. A little bit of skid right now. Byron Buxton expected to be in the Colonels lineup tonight after he was held out last night due to wet grounds. And I know Jeff Johnson, we'll talk with JJ tomorrow, not only about the Colonels, but about the upcoming high school prep football season. He tweeted out the fact that several times the umpires came out and inspected the field. And so the Twins erred on the side of caution, and the Twins were very much correct in doing that last night. You want to see Byron play, but you don't want to have the opportunity to get a guy like that hurt, certainly. But next Wednesday, the 4th, not only is it the opening night of Bowling Night in America, Mark's schedule needs to come out.
It's a work in progress.
I know that. It's always a work. So is Bowling Night in America. But the Colonels will be in action in their playoff opener, game one of the first round, best of three against Quad Cities. That'll be coming up next Wednesday night. Tickets on sale, and we've got tickets for you to win today and all through the week right here on KGYM. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media in Iowa City earlier on today. The players meeting the media as well down in Iowa City, and did not take long for the question to be addressed. In fact, Kirk addressed it today, right out of the chute, in his opening comments. As Oliver Martin's question still up in the air, although we may have some news sooner than later. But Kirk made it known that they are still trying to cross the T's and dot the I's, and they are still awaiting a decision officially.
And he also went a little bit further and said, if Oliver Martin is cleared, he will be on the field and in the plan Saturday night as Iowa hosts Miami of Ohio. A few other bullet points, and we're going to hear audio from the session today in Iowa City on the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 to 7. Spencer Petras is the number two quarterback.
Yeah.
Narrowly over Peyton Mansell. Kirk Ferentz said both Caleb Shudak and Keith Duncan will kick. Shudak will handle the kickoffs.
That's what we kind of figured is the case.
Guard Cole Banwert is doubtful for this Saturday. And a couple of freshmen on the offensive side of the ball, Shadrick Byrd and Tyler Goodson, could play this weekend. Apparently no true freshmen on the defensive side of the ball. And finally, in my takeaways, Iowa now has something called graduate decals, which I haven't seen. But 10 players have already graduated, and they will have decals on their helmets for this season. That kind is kind of an interesting concept.
It is. It's not exactly new. This is something that's been done. The SEC for that same individual or individuals, they've had on their uniform SEC, the logo, and then graduate underneath. If they are a graduate, Iowa has 10 of them this year. They will elect to put the decals on the helmet. I think you're going to see most conferences go to that sometime within the next couple of years. I know there isn't, I want to say it's the Big 12 that's also doing it this year, but I may be wrong in that. They're all going to follow suit, and they're all going to be doing it. It's a nice thing. It just reminds everyone that these are, Mark, as we know,
student-athletes.
Student-athletes. Not surprised with the Shudak Duncan situation there. Now, you know what? I am more curious about what is going to happen in the quarterback situation than I really am about the Oliver Martin situation at the present time. Because what is this going to mean now that Iowa has a number two guy that has apparently taken the lead as far as the quarterback derby is concerned? And we're going to see some people start to leave a little bit. You got Deuce Hogan coming in next year, who's a big-time recruit as far as the quarterback position is concerned. I don't like to see anybody leave the program, but I understand how things go and how things play out. But you got a redshirt freshman now at number two ahead of a sophomore.
Yeah, we've seen other quarterbacks in the Iowa program transfer and actually do quite well at their next schools. Not saying that Peyton Mansell is a candidate for that, because Kirk Ferentz said it's pretty tight competition. But he has named Spencer Petras the number two quarterback.
Right now, Iowa has six quarterbacks in camp. Obviously, one of those is former Linmar quarterback Ryan Schmidt. He is there. Nate Stanley is the starter. We all know that. Alex Padilla is there as a freshman. Kapsiak is in there as well. So that's a lot of quarterbacks, and you're going to have at least one coming in next year, if not a couple. Will they maybe consider a position change? I don't know. But Peyton Mansell, I still remember when Rob Howe and I talked with him on the recruiting show that we had a few years ago. He said his goal was not only to be the starting quarterback for 3 years, his goal was to play as a freshman. Well, that didn't happen. And he's, unless things change, probably not going to be a quarterback starter for 3 years, let alone maybe a starter period. So, like I said, I'm interested to see how this quarterback situation is going to play out.
Yeah, another piece of news as well. Sean Beyer, the tight end out of Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, it was reported that he missed some about a week in camp, but he is still vying with Drew Cook for the backup tight end position. So, and Beyer will play this weekend.
Yes. Yes, he will. All three tight ends are going to get in there, Weeding, as well as Drew Cook and Sean Beyer in there. Who knows how it plays out if Iowa gets a big lead. Played last year some, Bryce Schulte, the former Cedar Rapids Xavier quarterback, now a tight end for the Hawkeyes, and perhaps he gets in there and gets some reps as far as the game on Saturday night is concerned. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Joe Sheehan coming up. Some Major League Baseball we're going to get to here in game week. And we'll do that in about 3 or 4 minutes or so. And then we'll get back and circle around to things. And we'll circle around more to Oliver Martin. And there, yes, no official news coming out as far as Oliver Martin is concerned. But there are rumors to the effect that we're going to hear news later today. And the rumors were swirling about because if something was going to be given out prior to the news conference, the entire news conference was going to be about Oliver Martin, which it may have turned into, even though there's probably 3 or 4 questions, and then others will try to take those 3 and 4 questions and rearrange the words but have the same question. So we'll see. Maybe by the next hour, hour and a half, perhaps we will see something official coming out of Iowa City today.
It sounds as if Kirk Ferentz and his staff have prepared the game plan and moved forward this week with the assumption that Oliver Martin is going to play. And if he doesn't play, I'm sure there's a plan B, or, you know, you just edit that game plan a little bit. So I just think the NCAA has been very unfair in this situation. I think there's probably others out there still hanging and waiting, you know, for other news of their players. But come on, it's Tuesday of game week.
Yeah. Boy, you got to know. Come on, NCAA. I'd say you're better than this, but I don't think the NCAA is better than this. 319-366-1600. That's the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertina Stocker Jewelers. They are located on the Penn Mall in Iowa City, and that is also our phone number as well. And we haven't heard from him for a while. Maybe he's getting ready for Muskie football. And that's Joel Muscatine.
He'll be at Kingston Stadium in a couple weeks.
Yes, he will.
Yes, I will. I'll be up there. And then we go to Lindmar this year, too. So I'm excited. We got two games in your metro this year.
Outstanding.
But for City High as well.
Outstanding.
Before I was a student assistant and an assistant football coach at a college, I was an intern in the sports information office as a writer of press releases.
Yeah.
And would have significant input as to when they were released. And this whole time I've felt that this was going to wait till after the Tuesday media conference. Because for the very point you just mapped out, Scott, it would take all of the oxygen in the room would be devoted to one topic. And the strategy that we were always taught was, if there is a big story like that, break it, you know, after microphones are in all of the coaches' faces. So I think it may not be today, but I think that if there is news, positive or negative, it'll happen, you know, after today at whatever 1 o'clock that press conference was. So I think you guys have been around the business longer than I have. So I think you guys probably have seen plenty of stories break like this after someone's had to actually answer questions about it.
True.
And it's no big deal. That's just the business. And I think that social networking has ruined that part of the business because people just want it all now. And then you got people making it up and, you know, and everyone just throws something against the wall and tries to say, yes, they're the ones who said it first.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, Joel, as you know, I was at the whim of the NCAA. This thing could have been handled, I think, a couple, 3 weeks ago. I mean, you only have a certain set of facts that you're operating under. I don't know. This isn't the Mueller report, for crying out loud.
Well, right, and it sounds like, too, that there's been a lot of, and I've talked to some people somewhat close to the situation with my network, and this attorney really sounds like he knows what he's doing. So having a brother who is an attorney, they don't typically do things that aren't going to be in the best interest of their clients if they're any good. And I'm sure what the billable hour that this gentleman charges for the Tate Martells and the Oliver Martins of the world, that he didn't do anything that wasn't deliberate and that wasn't, you know, in designed to serve the best interest of his client. So I know that the paperwork got there late, but I'm sure that there was a reason for it, and I'm sure that there was a reasonable expectation of how long it takes to turn this stuff around. Who knows, though? I've never seen a governing body that's as respected as the NCAA is be as discombobulated as the NCAA is. I mean, it's almost like, and not to get political, but it's almost like the actual federal government in its own right. It's just, you just never know what's going to happen. And so I think for Iowa's sake that they're better if Oliver Martin is cleared to play. But I don't think that it's this, you know, pivotal thing. It's not like some of these teams that were waiting on the ruling for who their starting quarterback is going to be because of a waiver this. It's a much less sensitive position of need. But he definitely will help Iowa. And I say will because if I was going to bet at one of the legal sports books in Iowa on whether or not Oliver Martin would be playing on Saturday, my bet would be on that, yes, he will be playing.
Yeah. All right, Joel, appreciate it, man. Have a good week. Yep. Joel and Muscatine joining us. We're going to take a break. We'll talk more about Oliver Martin. We'll talk about Matt Campbell over in Ames as well. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball coming up next as Joe Sheehan will join us. Plenty to talk about as we get into the month of September, final month of the season. We'll get to Joe when we come back.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Your life is full, with good friends and family topping the list. Create an even more welcoming space for them with elegant cabinetry from Decora. Meticulously handcrafted, solid hardwood, custom milled cabinets. Whether you envision a gleaming new kitchen, impressive entry, or updated entertaining area, Decora has discriminating details at an approachable budget. And throughout August, receive free premium finishes on Kemper and Decora cabinetry at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, and at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy with extra staff and extra cash registers. Come in early and save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. While you're there, sign up for one of University Scooter's most popular mopeds. The drawing will be Friday. Iowa Book is open this Monday through Friday till 8. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book! One-of-a-kind bookstore.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back with you on the Gym Class for a Tuesday on KGYM. We've got Colonel's playoff tickets to give away, and we'll do that. Colonels will be in action at home tonight as Byron Buxton in town. The rehabilitation tour continuing after getting the night off last night due to some wet grounds, and he'll be in the lineup tonight for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Joe Sheehan set to join us right now, and you can follow Joe on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan with the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter joining us here on the program on this Tuesday. And yeah, we're enjoying having a major leaguer back, our former alum, Mr. Byron Buxton, in town. And it's always fun, and it's especially fun, I think, for the minor leaguers here to be around a guy like that who's been around things in the major leagues.
Well, as much fun as it is for the players, and as much fun as it is to watch Byron Buxton, who's one of the most entertaining players in the game, I think the Twins would just as soon have this be a very quick trip. If you look at the Twins' performance with and without Buxton this year, he's made all the difference. They're basically a 700 team with him and a sub-500 team without him. So they want this to go successfully so they can get him back to the major leagues.
Yeah, speaking of the Twins, three games up in the American League Central, and Cleveland suffered another blow today with Ramirez going on the DL. Twins facing Giolito tonight won't be an easy thing, but Indians been racked by injuries.
Yeah, if you look at the start of the year, they basically started the year. They took the winter off, guys, didn't try to improve the outfield. They had basically eight good players at the start of the year. Of those eight, five have been put on the DL, and another one's been traded in Trevor Bauer. They've done a really good job of surviving the losses of Kluber and Carrasco by getting good work out of Zach Plesac, Adam Plitko, now Aaron Civale. But they just don't have the offensive depth to fade the loss of Jose Ramirez. It's really going to hurt them. They just don't have the upper level offensive depth. And if you look at their season, this run that they had, making up all this ground on the Twins, was at least in part driven by Jose Ramirez, starting in the middle of June, really starting to hit well. So this is a devastating blow for the Indians. You know, they had caught the Twins a couple weeks ago. They had actually tied for the division lead, but they're 3.5 back now and missing, you know, their third best hitter. It's going to hurt them to death terribly.
Yeah, it will. And three hottest teams, arguably, in baseball all reside in the National League. One of them trying to step up and take control of the, at least what has been the three-team race in the National League Central. Here are the Cardinals, eight of their last 10, five in a row, and all of a sudden a three-game lead in the National League Central.
And the Cardinals have a lot to say as to whether this can become a two-team race with a couple more games in Milwaukee. They bludgeoned Gio Gonzalez last night to stretch their lead over the Brewers to 5.5. Now they could leave Milwaukee up 7.5, which would be a massive, massive gain for them. You know, guys, you go back to the middle of June. June 14th was Jordan Hicks' last outing. Blew out his elbow, Tommy John surgery. We won't hear from him for a while. And at the time, I thought, well, this is already not a great bullpen. And if you look at bullpens since the day Hicks's last outing, the Cardinals have the best bullpen in the National League. Actually, the best bullpen in baseball. Just fascinating the work that they've done. And, you know, Giovanni Gallegos, who was acquired for Luke Voit, he's been good for them. Andrew Miller has finally been healthy and effective. Carlos Martinez in the ninth inning. It's really a shock to me just how good that bullpen has been in the absence of Hicks. And you combine it with Goldschmidt finally hitting, Ozuna getting healthy and hitting a bit, that's really been what's driven them to the top of this division.
Joe, let's break down this St. Louis Cubs situation in three areas, if you will. First of all, who has the edge in starting pitching?
I think right now you've got to look at the Cardinals having the edge. I mean, Jack Flaherty started the year a little bit bumpy. He's basically been the guy we expected to be, the guy on the cereal box for the last 6 weeks or so. He's really stepped up, and he's been pitched at the level of a number one starter. The Cubs just don't have anybody at that level. You know, Darvish had a run there where he was pitching pretty well. But the front of the rotation, you look at a Flaherty, you know, Miles Mikolas is a mid-rotation starter. He's their number two. But even Mikolas, you might argue, is better than anybody that the Cubs have. So I think the Cardinals have a significant rotation edge.
I think you already answered that, bullpens.
The Cardinals bullpen has pitched better. I think the gap between them is a little bit exaggerated by the last month or so. But you look at the Cubs, the bullpen is 12th in strikeout rate. You watch that game on Sunday. Everything they gave up late in the game was on a two-strike count. They just don't have relievers who have the ability to get strike three. And that's really hurt them a lot in these close games. So, yeah, I give the Cardinals an edge as well.
Lastly, Joe, the offenses, knowing that the lineups could and do change almost every day.
A lot of it is health. I think when everybody's healthy, I give the Cubs the edge. They're missing Wilson Contreras now. Anthony Rizzo missed that game on Sunday and part of Saturday's game with a back problem. We'll see if he gets back in the lineup. And they might get Ben Zobrist back, who will solve some of their OBP issues. I do think the Cubs have the better lineup than the Cardinals. Cardinals, you know, fall off a little bit towards the end. They have to make some offense-defense choices, like Harrison Bader, who has hit well since coming back from the minor leagues, but he's really more of a glove type. So, you know, on a daily basis, the Cardinals can kind of make some choices that make the lineup better or worse. But overall, I think the Cubs have a significant edge.
Good.
Joe Sheehan joining us here at 3:26, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. Atlanta and Washington have pulled away a little bit from Philadelphia. The Phillies still in it as far as a wild card is concerned. I remember going back to late May, and we were talking with you, and we were talking about possible managers to get fired, and we were all talking about the Washington Nationals, and all of a sudden here they are 16 games over 500.
Yeah, I always liked Avi Martinez. I figured he had this team ready to go play 660 ball for 2 months. I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's really a stunner, and a lot of it is they got healthy. If you look at the day that Trey Turner came back off the disabled list, May 17th, I want to say. Ever since then, Turner and Rendon have started every single game for this team at short and third. Juan Soto has started all but one game in left field. And since getting healthy, this has been one of the best teams in baseball. If you look at since that day, they're like two games behind the Braves and Dodgers playing 6:30 baseball. And it's actually a little hotter than that if you look at them over the last like 2 months. And really, it's that core talent. You know, Steven Strasburg has pitched well. Those three guys have hit. Adam Eaton actually has played out of his mind for 2 months now. So this is a team that, you know, wasn't quite as thin as the Indians were, but that top end core, Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, the four hitters I mentioned, that's a championship caliber core. And having all those guys healthy and effective and playing well has driven this run for them. Even with, I mean, they got away with it in Chicago, and their bullpen helped them win a couple of those games. But this is still not a bullpen, especially without Sean Doolittle, that you're ever going to trust.
Joe, what'd you make of the Yankee-Dodgers series?
I thought it was ugly. Give me the classic uniforms. They should have made an exception on Players Weekend. When the Yankees are playing the Dodgers, it needs to be pinstripes and Dodger blue. So that was a little disappointing. I wouldn't take too much out of three games. I definitely think we saw certainly some concern the Dodgers have about Kenley Jansen. He escaped that game on Saturday, but not by much. The Dodgers bullpen is the weak spot. The offense is fantastic. The rotation has been great. Definitely some concerns, you know, Joe Kelly, Kelly Jansen. They've used a variety of guys in that left-handers role. We'll see if they get Scott Alexander back. You'll see them take Maeda, Kenta Maeda, and put him in the bullpen in the playoffs. That's going to help them a lot. But, yeah, I think some of what we saw in this series was, and I mentioned this online, you know, the Dodgers have a 20-game lead. They're going to end up with the best record in the National League. Are they as good as the top teams in the American League? I don't know. I think there's enough of a gap at the top end where you say, are the Dodgers just beating up on a bad American League West, excuse me, National League West, or are they actually competitive with the Yankees and the Astros? And I think we're just not going to, you know, this week, if you want to draw conclusions from this weekend, fine. I just think it's more of a question that was raised.
You raised the question as well, Joe. The uniforms over the weekend. That I know. I'm an old curmudgeon, and so is Mark, but those were brutal. I mean, it did not help baseball.
Yeah, I said a few weeks back, I'm pretty agnostic about Players Weekend. There are a lot of people that get really excited about it, so you know, God bless them. It's fine by me. But it interfered with being able to watch the games this weekend, the black and white uniforms. The nicknames are great. The shoes are great. The whole idea of it is fantastic. But you literally created uniforms where every single team pretty much looked the same, which is a guy who watches a lot of games at once made it very hard to kind of flip back and forth and know what the heck I was watching. As you recognize, there are 750 players in the major leagues, and yeah, 420 of them are anonymous relievers. So it's a little hard to flip to a game and know who's pitching when you literally can't read the name on the back of the uniform. That was a little frustrating. And again, you know, losing the Yankees Dodgers would have been a visually more interesting matchup with the classic uniform, which is disappointing. I think they learned their lesson. I think there's things you keep from Players Weekend, but you don't do it with these ridiculous uniforms. I think, like a lot of people, I was wondering, like, one person doesn't make this choice. This is a choice made by layers and layers of people in marketing. And did nobody look at this and go, hey, we can't read the names on the uniforms?
No, apparently nobody.
Apparently not, right?
Apparently everyone had a coffee, said these are awesome, and then we move on. Tonight, another big series gets underway. Houston hosting Tampa Bay. That's going to be a big one, especially for the Rays, because obviously they're in the fight as far as the wild card is concerned. And doesn't get a lot better than Morton and Verlander tonight.
No, fantastic pitching matchup. Two guys were teammates last year. Morton, one of the best free agent signings of the season, picked up velocity a couple of years ago. Now he throws that curve, that gorgeous, gorgeous curve of his a lot. Verlander, of course, one of the Cy Young contenders in the American League. I do think it's interesting the Rays, with all of their injuries, are coming in, and they got waxed by the Orioles a couple games over the weekend. Their offense is really struggling, and the last thing you want to have to face in that situation is the front of the Astros rotation. So this is a tough time for the Rays, who leave their half game up on the A's and the Indians in the wild card race. This is a really tough matchup for them right now.
Domingo Germán, 17-3, but his ERA and other numbers aren't what maybe a Verlander and others have posted. What do you think of his chances to maybe win the Cy Young?
I think he's got a great chance to win the 1983 Cy Young. But that's just, I mean, we just, even a mix of voters, as you get with the BBWAA awards, isn't going to be swayed by a gaudy one-loss record. They're going to look at the ERA. They're going to look at the underlying numbers now. Again, it's just we know now that win-loss record is affected by offensive support. It's affected by bullpen support. And also it helps that, I believe both Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander are 15-5. Mm-hmm. So even if you were going to let the win-loss record influence your vote, you still have two other guys there. It's not like you're voting for Felix Hernandez the year he went, 13-12, or Zach Greinke the year, he had the 13 wins. So I think you're going to see one of the two Astros win pitchers end up pulling this out. And that's actually one of the really great stories going into September. These two teammates who are probably 1-1A for Cy Young Award.
Dave Rigetti had a great 1983, by the way.
Guys, I was 12 years old. Yankee fan. I was leaving the house on July 4th.
Yep, no hitter.
Before the game, and stayed in my living room. I went and got my lucky sweatshirt, my lucky Yankee sweatshirt. Stood there in the living room, watched the last 5 innings.
Oh yeah, that was a day I'll never forget. The July 4th, 1983 no hitter with David Rigetti. Hey, before we let you go, last one from me here. Mets and the Cubs start a very important three-game series, especially as far as the Metropolitans are concerned, and they get to throw Marcus Stroman. I can't imagine the Cubs have seen Marcus Stroman a whole lot, if at all.
No, they've seen pitchers like him, though. And today we have so much information on what guys do. They'll know they're looking for the sinker most of the time, that good two-seamer to pound it down in the zone. You lay off it. If you can't clip the bottom of the zone for strikes, you can get ahead in the count, force him to come up. It's a good matchup, though. This is now an incredibly important series for the wild card. The Cubs, who were leading the AL NL Central a week ago are now leading the wild card race, which isn't really where you want to be. So the Mets coming off the sweep by the Braves, they have to pull some of these games out now, or the floor could really what's the metaphor I'm looking for? The floor could come out from under them if they can't pick off two or three from the Cubs.
Very true. And they'll get started coming up tonight in New York City. Joe, keep up the great work with the newsletter. Thank you very much. As always, appreciate it. And we're getting to the last month of the season. So fun times coming up in baseball.
Thanks, fellas. Enjoy the holiday weekend.
All right. Joe Sheehan joining us. Check him out, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. Always good stuff, including 1983 memories of David Rigetti throwing a no-no on July 4th.
Oh, it is a holiday weekend, isn't it?
It is.
I'll be darned.
We're on Monday, Mark. Oh, 3:35, we're going to come back, and we will talk a little bit more about Kirk Ferentz's news conference. Talk about Matt Campbell's news conference today as well. Also, interesting little letter put out, not by the Iowa High School Athletic Association, by the National Federation for High Schools, and some reaction to it, and your reaction to it as well. All that and more coming up, Gym Class for this Tuesday here on KGYM, presented by Third Base Brewery. As we go to break, we're going to give you an opportunity to win Colonels playoff tickets. A week from tomorrow night, the Colonels will host Quad Cities in game one of the best of three. And we've got tickets for you to win right now. We do have Colonels. For more information, I should say, you can go to colonels.com. You can go to our website as well to get you hooked up to that. We're going to take caller 6-319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You are going to get those playoff tickets. Back with more after this.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Bring your furry four-legged friends to the Colonels this Wednesday for Bark in the Park. Participants must register their dog online at colonels.com and purchase tickets for you and your dog. All proceeds from the dog tickets benefit Critter Crusaders. Visit colonels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And now a word from Andrew's boss, Dave.
Thank you, and may I say, what a beautiful service. My favorite Andrew memory was when he came in to interview. He told me he got a bachelor's in whatever accountants get, and I figured some of his college buddies might be here who got the same thing and need a job. Wow.
I think you should leave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Starting route now. Turn right at Fortress Mountain. Turn left at Mount Hood. Head south to Moab, Utah. Continue on the Great North American Test Drive.
Run with us on a John Deere Gator XUV 835. With our quietest cab ever and optional heat and AC, and a four-wheel independent suspension, it's built to run where no one else can. Nothing runs like a Deere. Search John Deere Gator for more.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
School's back in session, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the Duralast batteries you need to drive with peace of mind. They're proven tough, even in the most extreme conditions. That's because they're designed to improve performance and provide your ride with a powerful startup. And they're available only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Visit us at AutoZone.com and start the job fast with free same-day in-store pickup.
Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Back in the gym class, and congratulations going out to Art in Cedar Rapids. He's going to see the Colonel playoff game coming up a week from Wednesday as the Colonels will take on Quad Cities. Colonels in Peoria go at it tonight. Peoria won in extra innings last night, and Byron Buxton expected to be in the Colonels lineup coming up this evening as the Colonels take on the Chiefs one more time. And then Bark in the Park coming up on Wednesday. I would be nervous to take my dog out there. Not that he's not going to get along with people, but he's going to want to, you know, meet everyone and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He's a puppy.
Agree.
319-366-1600. That's a Hurtina Stock and Jewelers text line. If you want to join the conversation here, it was not only Iowa Media Day today, but Matt Campbell meeting the media over in Ames. Iowa State hosting the UNI Panthers coming up on Saturday morning. We've got it at 9 o'clock with the pregame for you on 1600 AM, just past 11 o'clock with the kickoff for that one. And, of course, Matt Campbell said all the correct coach things about his FCS opponent, but talked a lot about his team as well, and said that Brock Purdy, the biggest thing he wants to see from his sophomore quarterback, and that he thinks he will see from his sophomore quarterback, is more distribution as far as the quarter passing is concerned. Randy Peterson talked about this in his Des Moines Register article, if you want to get more on it. But kind of an astounding stat from a year ago, 30% of the passes thrown by Brock Purdy were to Hakeem Butler last year. Now, did he catch them all? Most of them, yes. But 30% of all the passes that Brock Purdy threw was to the direction of Hakeem Butler. You put that together with David Montgomery. And that's what I talked about. We'll talk about it on Friday some more and get your thoughts about how Iowa and Iowa State are going to fare this year as far as their record is concerned. We'll do that on Friday. But that's the only question I have about Iowa State still, how they're going to move on without those two guys that were an integral part of that offense. Just shows how much, I mean, there was well over 50% of the offense was two guys last year.
As it should have been.
As it should have been, yes.
Yeah, and that's one of the aspects I'm going to be interested in looking and hearing about in this particular game. You know, Iowa State is going to hang its hat on defense. And I think it would be more than a serviceable offense. You know, that Mark Farley is a cagey guy up there in Cedar Falls. He is always going to have his team prepared. Now, whether you and I can compete with this Iowa State team remains to be seen. With a redshirt freshman quarterback getting his first start, that's going to be interesting going against
in his backyard, basically.
Yeah. So very interesting game, I think.
Yeah, it will be. And he was talking about Brock Purdy and how he's going to be looking around and trying to find some different receivers and how the defense is going to carry this team for a little while anyway, especially in maybe a little bit. He's going to lean on that defense, there's no doubt, especially. You're going to see Iowa State come at the young freshman quarterback for UNI, I think, with their ears pinned back and make him see some things that he probably hasn't seen when he was at playing in
Des Moines Lincoln. Yeah.
So we'll see. But that's why they play the games. That's why they play the games. And again, in case you missed the first part of the program, Kirk Ferentz meeting the media earlier on today and addressed the Oliver Martin situation. I guess it's a situation. Can we still call it a situation here?
Or a matter. Either one.
The matter. Anyway, nothing official coming out as of yet, but there are rumblings and there are rumors around in Iowa City, etc., that we're going to hear a resolution one way or the other coming up maybe even as soon as today, before 5 o'clock. And it is game week. It is 5 days until they kick things off. And like you said earlier on, I would imagine that Brian Ferentz has a game plan with Oliver Martin, and he probably has a game plan right now that does not include Oliver Martin.
Yeah, and if that news does come down, you'll hear about it either in the last 15 minutes of this show or in the Todd Bromekamp show with Alex Kuhn from 4 to 7. For those who are really into who the captains are, Scott.
Oh, they're big.
Michael Ojemudia, Brady Ross, Nate Stanley, and Christian Welch will be your captains on Saturday for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
And more than likely will remain captains for the season. They don't change
usually
very
the way
often.
It works, yeah.
319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in as we talk a little bit more about football. Wanted to get to this as well, and I saw the – oh, do we have – oh, don't do that, Kyle. Come on, man. You're busting here. I thought we had a I thought we had a Kyle bomb.
Did you
there.
Hear some rumblings down there, Kyle, today? Or
there were rumblings, right?
Rumblings. You never know. There's been rumblings. You know, it's always it's so hard to sift through. You know, there's been rumblings on Twitter for the past few days now. But we're very much to the point now where anybody out there can say, you know, oh, I think we're going to get this pretty soon. And, you know, well, naturally we are because there's only 4 or 5 days before the game. But with all that said, maybe just keep it here for the next day.
I just want to know. I want this over with. I want to move on.
I'm with you there. I think it's become a much bigger deal than I think the anticipation of the decision. I think has at this point outweighs the.
Are we calling it the decision now?
We could. But I think the anticipation of the decision, I think, really outweighs the impact. Because I said this on my sports view earlier today, and I don't mean this to take anything away from Oliver Martin. He's going to be a good player for the Hawkeyes someday. But if it's not this year, they still go four deep with talented receivers. So it's really I really don't think it's that big of a deal. To me, the only way this becomes a big deal is if they say no, and then Ferentz is going to be just livid.
What we didn't get to is Nate Stanley's growing a goatee. Huh?
Yeah.
Is it a good one or a bad one?
It's got some filling in to do.
Okay.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, we'll go with.
Hopefully not like Nate's game is a work in progress, but we're hoping that, the goatee, by the time midseason comes around, fill in nicely, look pretty good. You got to try something new. Before Kyle came in, and I got all excited that we may have had Oliver Martin news, we were talking about there was, I know Chris Cuellar, friend from the Iowa High School Athletic Association, formerly of the Des Moines Register, put out this today, a letter from the National High School Federation from one of their top folks dealing with sportsmanship, Mark. Not saying it to you, but they put out a letter, and Chris put it out as well with all of the media links as far as the Iowa High School Athletic Association is concerned. And I would imagine that Gene Berger with the Girls High School Athletic Union would be a proponent of this as well. But some people commenting on this thing today.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never seen anything like this before, but it's a six-point communique from Carissa Niehoff, Executive Director of the National Federation, and Tom Keating, Executive Director of the IHSAA, dealing with inappropriate adult behavior at high school athletic events.
Never happens, Mark.
To preface the bullet points, this release says 62.3% in a national recent survey said the athletic director's most difficult area is dealing with aggressive parents and adult fans. And the release goes on to say, if you're a parent attending the high school athletic event, and I won't read all of it, but just hit the bullet points. Number one, act your age. Act your age. Number two, don't live vicariously through your children. Never heard that before. Number three, let your children talk to the coach instead of doing it for them. Don't dial the coach and why isn't my kid playing more? Number four, stay in your own lane.
That's your thing, man. That's your saying.
Stay in your lane. No coaching or officiating from the sidelines. Number five, remember, participating in a high school sport is not about a college scholarship.
According to the NCAA, only about 2% of all high school athletics get a scholarship.
Finally, number six, make sure your children know you love watching them play. Do not critique your child's performance on the car ride home.
Yes, don't do that. The thing that makes me so my blood boil at these basketball games, especially, but football games as well, is to see, you mentioned number one was act your age. To see either a grandparent or a parent, somewhere in the age group between 40 and 65-ish, I'll say.
Hey.
Well, I'm in there too.
Okay.
And berate a team, an official, etc., a coach. And then the small grandchild or child or brother of said athlete that's playing starts doing it as well. That is just the worst thing I see. So you've basically just passed down a horrible trait to your kid, that it's okay to, you know, to boo the official, to boo the referee, and and I don't want to come across as a goody-goody or anything like that. I mean, you can say something to your neighbor under your breath or something like that. That was a bad call or whatever. And trust me, I know enough officials. They know when they did something wrong and they feel bad about it. But when you are standing up and yelling at somebody and then the kid next to you is doing it, that's when I just want to lose my mind.
And the worst outcome too, Scott, and you know this, is when you have those parents or grandparents or relatives, whoever it may be, especially at a basketball game, when you can hear these things more readily than at a football game. Yelling at the football game is like yelling at your TV. You know,
yes.
The officials probably
they're
aren't
not going to hear you.
But the kids hear it.
Oh yeah,
they can recognize their dad's voice, and they're embarrassed most of the time.
Most of the time they are. Most of the time they are. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on the subject out there. And again, put out not only as a co-thing with the Iowa High School Athletic Association, but also the National High School Federation as well. Interesting, the Gazette's football preview on Sunday dealt with the continuing lack of officials each and every year. And talking again with officials, the number one far and away reason is due to just being berated and being sick and tired of listening to fans who 95.6% of the time are absolutely, unequivocally wrong about not only the call, but the rule. And basketball, it's a gym. You hear people in basketball. You don't hear them in football usually, especially in a 4A or a 3A setting. Well, you might in a smaller school when you're up closer to the sidelines.
Well, imagine if someone comes to your place of work and you've got to sell more insurance policies.
True. Very true.
You're an embarrassment to this profession. You need to step it up.
Let's get into a phone call. Go to line one and bring Rob in Cedar Rapids into the conversation here today. Rob, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Scott?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
You know, I was just hearing you guys talk about the officials and, you know, getting out of it and going back to the embarrassment that the kids feel. I guess basically if you're going to go to a game, just stay in your lane, because as an official, I've seen kids cry. I've seen kids hang their head. I've seen kids say, I don't want to play. And you're taking the fun out of the game if you're doing that for everybody.
True. Very much so. Very true with that. Appreciate the call. Robin Cedar Rapids joining us here today at 3:53.
Yeah, kind of like my point about the kids can hear that. In basketball, soccer, baseball, where fans are close to the field, as opposed to football. And oftentimes the kids are embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And either embarrassed or they take on the same behavior as their dad or the mom or the brother.
If, by the way, a plug, free plug for the Cedar Rapids Officials Association. If you are thinking of becoming an official, get in touch with those folks because they do a tremendous job. Our own Jeff Downing is one of those folks in that organization out there. And I know Corey Burkle's the guy, I think, in charge. And give him a call or give somebody out there a call because they definitely need young, good officials out there. Let's see. Let's get one more in here before we take our final break. Let's go to Rob in Center Point joining us here. It's Rob Day on the program. How you doing, Rob?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, Rob.
I don't know if either of you gentlemen remember the Mossberger girls that played at Kennedy in the 70s.
Mona and Monica.
Marlena.
Mona and Marlena.
Marlena.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, one of them lives out here near Center Point. But, to sit in that gym and listen to Moose Mossberger, their dad, holler and scream and yell at those refs. And everybody looked up to him for doing it.
Mm.
Because his girls were doing, you know, taking the Kennedy to state championships. And just those memories of listening to Moose just berating the refs. Because there's no way somebody could block his girl or shoot over one of his girls. Mm. So, just wanted to share that memory of a very loud man.
Thanks, Rob. Sir.
Thank you, Rob.
319-366-1600.
And Moose is not the only one.
Oh, no.
You and
no.
I both know and can identify.
Absolutely.
Fathers.
I'm not naming any names.
No, I'm not either. A couple comments on the Hurtine and Stocker Jeweler text line. Leo in Iowa City. If officials at all levels felt bad about blowing calls, then why don't they say something like the no call in the NFC title game?
Well, that's a whole different level. We're talking the high school level at this point.
2711, quit yelling over the back. There is no such
nope,
rule.
There's no rule over the back.
call it both ways.
I'm just going to say the media's favorite is call it both ways. That's the best one out there. All right, we'll take a break, come back, wrap things up, get you ready for the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn next on KGYM.
The Home Depot is making finding your color and choosing the right paint easier than ever. With curated palettes of this year's most popular colors and new paint selection tools online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Now get a colorful new experience with the Home Depot's paint expertise and selection of top quality brands, colors, and finishes. Get your paint project done right with gallons of Behr Premium Plus from just $24.98 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see store for details.
This is Sarah's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
Driving cross-country with two young children is ambitious, to say the least. Then our check engine light came on. We pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts and they tested it. Turned out it was a faulty sensor. They referred us to a great mechanic just down the street and we were back on the road in no time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
Mile markers remind us of where we've been, show us where we need to go, and inspire the next generation to keep pushing boundaries.
And speaking of mile markers, guess who will be the first non-player, non-coach to be inducted as an honorary member into the College Football Hall of Fame? The Goodyear Blimp.
Some of the most iconic footage has been captured from the Goodyear Blimp. It's watched dynasties rise and fall and become a symbol of the college game.
So when driving past mile markers of your own, remember Goodyear takes you further. Discover more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
After an off day, the Twins begin a 10-game road trip tonight against the White Sox in Chicago. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Pineda and Giolito, the pitching matchup for Game 1. It'll all happen right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Sox took 2 out of 3 for the Twins last week. What's going to happen this week? We shall see.
Sox playing good baseball.
They are. They are playing good baseball, and I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen in September. Luis Robert, is he going to come up and play outfield for the White Sox? Could see a new infielder for the White Sox coming up as well.
And all those kids will be hungry.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Twins and the Sox coming up tonight for you, 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. We have Houston and Tampa tomorrow night on 1600 and 106.3 FM starting at 7 o'clock, as well as the White Sox and the Twins. That will be tomorrow night as well at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. Audio from Kirk Ferentz from Players Today down in Iowa City is coming up from now until 7 o'clock with Todd and Alex, and maybe news on Oliver Martin. We'll see. We're all waiting, anticipating with bated breath.
Stirring the pot, aren't you?
Well, it's got to happen sometime.
It does.
It's got to happen sometime, so we'll see if that'll be coming up in the next couple of hours or so. There are rumors to that effect, so we shall see. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk high school football. Jeff Johnson will join us. We'll talk a little Colonels baseball. Byron Buxton playing for the Colonels again tonight. We'll talk with JJ about that. And Chris Liss of RotoWire.com, get your fantasy football questions ready to go. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, Texans star pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney has met with Dolphins coach Brian Flores and other members of the organization who hope to convince him to accept a trade to Miami. Clowney hasn't yet signed his $15.9 million franchise tender from Houston for this season. 12 days to go before the Cowboys' regular season opener, and still no sign of star running back Ezekiel Elliott. He continues his holdout in search of a new contract. Time is of the essence for Elliott and the Cowboys if he's going to play in week one, notes ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano.
The Cowboys don't want him to miss games. They have high hopes. They believe they have a great defense. They're excited about the offense with a full season of Amari Cooper. He's obviously what makes it go. So can they tolerate the idea of him missing games? And then can he tolerate the idea of not getting paid? That's when it starts to get real for him.
Panthers coach Ron Rivera said that